Wisdom, the final frontier to true knowledge. Welcome to Wisdom Trek, where our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, your captain on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Thank you for joining us today as we explore wisdom on our second millennium of podcast. This is day 1391 of our trek, and it is Worldview Wednesday. Creating a biblical worldview is essential to have a proper perspective on today's current events. To establish a biblical worldview, you must have a proper understanding of God and His Word. Our focus for the next several months on Worldview Wednesday is mastering the Bible through a series of brief insights. These insights are extracted from a book by the same title from one of today's most prominent Hebrew scholars, Dr. Michael S. Heiser. This book is a collection of insights designed to help you to understand the Bible better. When we let the Bible be what it is, we can understand it as the original readers did and as the original writers intended. Each week, we'll explore two additional insights. So today, it's Mastering the Bible, Gentile Inclusion, and All Things in Common. Insight number 65. Gentile inclusion in the people of God didn't mean hostility toward Jews or Jewish customs. The book of Acts and the ministry of Paul and his companions inform us that the people of God after the cross were not a new theocracy or a revived Israel on Old Testament terms. The family of God included believers, both Jew and Gentile. Entrance only requires faith in what Jesus accomplished by his death and resurrection. From antiquity to our own day, however, the non-Jewish nature of the people of God has been misread in many negative ways, even to the point of anti-Semitism. It is absurd to think that the New Testament endorses the hatred of Jewish people. Even after the conference over the Gentile inclusion in Acts chapter 15, there is no evidence in Acts that the Jews were taunted or prevented from preaching the gospel. In fact, the opposite is quite true. Paul, a Jew, in Philippians chapter 3, addressed this in both word and deed. The gospel, said Paul, was for the Jew first and then to the Gentile, in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. In every place Paul visited on his missionary travels, he went to the synagogue first. If the Jews no longer had a special status, then his pattern would seem really odd. But Paul longed for the salvation of his countrymen, Romans chapter 9. Paul also expressed appreciation and even devotion to the Jewish laws and customs. He knew that the law was no substitute for salvation, and it couldn't be. Salvation is an unmerited gift, as we're told in Ephesians chapter 2 and Romans chapter 4. Nevertheless, he delighted in the law in his inner or redeemed being, Romans chapter 7 verse 22. Paul circumcised Timothy before taking him along on his missionary tour to avoid the young man becoming an obstacle to the Jews that Paul would be preaching to. Upon return to Jerusalem, Paul visited the temple, having taken a Nazarite vow of purification. This would make little sense if Paul believed Israel had been displaced by God, especially when going to the temple was such a dangerous thing for him to do. Rather than setting Israel aside, the New Testament language should be understood in terms of Gentile inclusion. God included the Gentiles into His family. He didn't exclude the Jews. Although modern-day replacement theology primarily focuses on the interpretation of eschatology, it has become a trendy excuse for anti-Semitic attitudes and political disdain for modern Israel. Politics is no aid to biblical understanding and should not become a filter for Scripture. Next, let's move on to insight number 66. The early church did not practice communism. Since communism is a socioeconomic theory put forth in the 19th century, thinking that the early church practiced communism seems anachronistic, and it is. Yet ever since Karl Marx gave the world communism, people have filtered Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 45 through his ideas. Let me read those verses to you. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and also to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. One of Marxism's most famous slogans seems to fit Acts chapter 2 well, for each according to his ability, to each according to his need. But that takes Marxism and Acts 2 out of context. Communism advocates several ideas that are foreign to the Old and New Testament theology. It abolishes private ownership of property, seeks a classless society, and uses the power of the state to coerce the populace toward fulfilling both goals. There is no support in Scripture for these extremes. Two of the Ten Commandments presuppose private property and criminalizes its theft. Wealth is a fruit of our labor in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 and 13, verse 4. Inherited wealth is not condemned. Financial inequality is the inevitable result of inequality in ability and giftedness, interest in wealth, a society's opportunities for economic advancement, or lack thereof, and positive versus self-destructive personal decisions. While, in Jesus' words, there will always be poor, in John chapter 12, verse 8, and therefore unequal economic classes, God doesn't disdain the poor at all. Instead, he is displeased when they are opposed by the wealthy. Marxist interpreters of the Acts chapter 2 miss the obvious fact that everything we read in the passage was voluntary. There was no all-powerful state or even ecclesiastical authority demanding redistribution of income and wealth. In Acts 5, believers were voluntarily selling their property and distributing the proceeds among the believers. Even when Ananias and his wife sinned, deceptively withholding part of the property sale, Peter scolded them and said, "And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal?" There was no coercion in this picture. Acts chapter 2 does not justify a Marxist theory for another reason. It would contradict the teachings of Jesus. It was Jesus who spoke of the kingdom of heaven as distinct from earthly state, Matthew chapter 22, verse 21. When we prefer or insist that the state fulfill tasks that Jesus gave to us and his disciples and servants, we dishonor the principle of his distinction. Care for others is a spiritual duty, not something to be handed off to secular authority. And that will conclude this week's lesson on another two insights from Dr. Heiser's book, Mastering the Bible. Next Worldview Wednesday, we will continue with two additional insights. I believe that you'll find each Worldview Wednesday interesting topics to consider as we build our biblical worldview. Tomorrow, we will continue with our 3-minute humor nugget that will provide you with a bit of cheer, which will help you to lighten up and live a rich and satisfying life. So encourage your friends and family to join us and to come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, Creating a Legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,390 treks or read the Wisdom Journal, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day's trek will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor, but most importantly, I am your friend, as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward, enjoy your journey, and create a great day every day. See you tomorrow.